B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
We're talking to the great Bernie Perrott. It's his birthday today, and we wanted to wish him a happy birthday. What are you going to do for the day, brother?
Well, you know what? I still can pronounce that word right. I think I may spend a couple hours making some, what is it, Yonkies?
Yonkies. Well, I'm sure you're a French chef, right?
A French chef, yeah. Yes. French Bernard, yeah. Hey, by the way, you know, when this craziness goes away, you know, I have a 45-foot boat down the shore, and it's a fishing boat. So, by the way, it used to be called the French Connection. And then my wife, of course, one day approached me, and she's from Italy. So she said, how about we name it the Italian-French Connection? So I was a little bit hesitant, but somehow she convinced me, and now it's called the Italian-French Connection.
That's awesome, man.
But one, like, reason I brought this up is I'd love to take you out and get you a nice big tuna, buddy. Yeah.
Hey, buddy, listen, I'm going to take you up on that because I got two little boys I told you about, little Anthony Jr.
Right.
And Massimo, and they love, I took them fishing on a party boat first time last year because I don't know about fishing, right? So
right.
I need to make sure that we go on. My buddy Tooch, we took him out last year. I need a pro like you to take the kids out.
Well, you're so kind. You bring them along, and we'll show them a good time.
Bernie, you're the greatest, man. You really are. Only the Lord saves more than Bernie. And to this day, your happiness. I was telling Andrew, who's our producer. Andrew, say hello to Bernie.
Hello, Bernie. Happy birthday.
And thank you, my friend. How are you?
I'm great. Hanging in, man. Great to hear your voice.
Thank you. He was
excited. I said, tomorrow on the show, we're going to wish Bernie a happy birthday. And Andrew, wow, really? Bernie? I go, yeah, Bernie's the greatest, man.
Well, you know what? You're so kind. And, you know, we've been blessed. You know, so many of us have been blessed here in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, and when you look back, you know, in all sports, I can only speak for sports right now, but in all the sports, you know, we've been blessed with great players, and at the same time, we've been blessed with great friends, great fans, and anything, you know, you're talking about being positive all the time and the whole bit, so... So anytime we can be some help and help some people psychologically, you know, to make them feel better, we're always there.
So, you're the greatest, man. You. We love you. Listen, have a beautiful day, all right? Have a great, great day. Enjoy yourself. And I want, you know, 150 more. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, my friend. And
God bless you.
If you heard the dog bark, he's wishing you a beautiful day. Yeah. So I love you, my friend. And
love you, Bernie.
Yeah.
See you, brother. You're the greatest. The great Bernie Perrott, number one, hangs in the rafters. Man, what a legend. How great is that, Judas?
Great to hear from him. He sounds great, man. He sounds great. 75 years young for Bernie.
That's right. That's right. It is 11:05. And you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia. Broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We're at Beasley Media Group Station.
By the way, I'm going through the sports region. Because it's one thing for you to give me the lines, but I also want to play them. I'm seeing a lot of early upsets, man.
Are you really?
Yes, I am.
You think the Cousin Joey Field of 64 sports region is a lot of upsets?
I see a couple upsets early on, man.
All right. I'm curious. Which ones you thinking? That's cool. Let's get to the phones. Matt in Palmyra, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt.
Yo, Anthony, Andrew. I'll get to the 80 NFC Championship game that I told the guy on the phone, but I have another point to add. So your BCAD thing.
Yeah.
Hear me out on this. The greatest game ever played in 1958. Before that was BC. Then 58 through 1980 was medieval times. The 80s and 90s were the Renaissance. 2000s were post-colonial, early 19th century. Then when they came out with the new rules about 09-10, that was the Industrial Revolution. And now we're post-Industrial Revolution.
Wow! Wait, one more time. This is brilliant, Matt. One more time. So we start in 58?
58, the greatest game ever played. That was the end of BC.
Okay. End of BC is there, okay? And then we go, now should we start at the Super Bowl, though? At the beginning of the Super Bowl? Shouldn't that be the end of BC?
Well, because the greatest game ever played,
that's really what launched the NFL.
You could argue and that was even more significant than the Super Bowl. Like, the Super Bowl, like, the greatest game ever played is what really took the NFL.
Tell me about it, because you know, it's funny. You must have read a lot about it, because I don't know this. I don't know that. I mean, I know the game, I know the lore, but I didn't know that it had that big of a profound effect.
Yeah, that was what really put football above baseball in terms of popularity. And then once the NFL kind of became above baseball, that's what made the AFL say, hey, maybe we can make some money getting into football. So that popularity created the AFL, and then they merged into the Super Bowl. So I could argue that that was more important than the first Super Bowl.
All right, well, I'm still like a little leery on that, but I love where you're going with this. So up until 80, you say, is the medieval times?
Yes. And then
Dark Ages. I like that.
Yeah. And then kind of when Joe Montana and Dan Marino came along, you could maybe even push that back to 83 or so. I haven't like deep dive into that.
Right.
That's the Renaissance. That's when the passing game really started to become.
I love the Renaissance period. Bigger yes. deal. That's excellent.
And then the 2000s, you could really see, like I know a while ago you were kind of, when McNabb kind of compared his stats to Troy Aikman, you were saying, well, that was a different time. And there are also, well, I guess Randall was kind of scramblers, but like just going by that, like there's definitely a difference though between like Peyton Manning and
right.
Early Tom Brady and then Joe Montana. So I'll just call that like kind of between the American Revolution and industrial times, like early 19th century, we're still kind of like an agricultural society, but we're really moving forward. And then when they came with the new rules, that was the Industrial Revolution. When they banned helmet to helmet, when that really opened up the passing game, that was the Industrial Revolution. And now we're post-Industrial Revolution.
That's interesting. That's pretty good, man. I like that. I like that a lot. I love going the periods, not just going and ending with BC and AD. That's really good. I love, my favorite is your Renaissance period, because I think that's dead on. I think you're right on there. That's good stuff, Matt. Thank you, buddy.
All right. And then I originally talked on the phone about the 1980 NFC Championship game. So a few years ago, I watched the Eagles game with my buddy Kyle, and it was when the Eagles were collapsing during Chip Kelly's second year. So the Eagles lose, we're upset, so we decide to watch the two championship game wins. And two things that stuck out to me during that game, one you touched on earlier was Jaws' stats. He really, as much as I love Jaws, I got to be honest, it wasn't a good game. There was one point he threw something like 10 straight incompletions. It might have even been more than that. The other thing that stuck out to me was how close the game was. You know, if you look at the score, you're like, oh, that looks like a dominant win. I've heard people say, oh, we had the Cowboys up from the beginning, but it really wasn't until late in the third quarter that I think it was Leroy Harris scored a touchdown to make it a 10-point game. But up until then, it was like, you know, a 3-point game until late in the third quarter. The Cowboys had plenty of chances to win that game. They just didn't.
Yeah. Wow. That's you know what? I forgot all about it. So I'm really kind of looking forward to 12:20 and reliving this thing. This will be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that. Good stuff, Matt. Thank you. But we think about the about Matt's renaissance. But I like that, the renaissance period.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, there was a lot to it. I kind of like simplifying things with BC and AD. But
yeah, you're a simple man.
Yeah, I'm a simple man. But he really well thought out. I'll give it to him.
Yeah.
I'm just a very, pre-Peyton, post-Peyton kind of guy. That's me. You want a matchup? You want to in the sports region?
Yeah, I want to give it to you. You ready? Here you go. Again, this is Cousin Joey's Field of 64 movie lines. Here you go. If I can find my my region. All right, let's stay in sports. So let's do 8-9. You ready?
Yes.
I must break you.
I must break you.
There you go. Versus the 8 seed. You make sure they remember forever the night they played the Titans.
You make sure they remember forever the night they played the Titans.
Wow, that was awesome.
Remember the Titans just blows them out.
Blows out, Drago. Remember.
And I'm a big I must break you guy. Right, yeah. Remember we had that debate a few weeks ago, but when we still had sports. It's not even close. Because it's I'm taking a lot into it. I'm not just taking the words. Close.
I agree.
It's the scene.
Yeah.
It's the way it's said.
Yes.
Now, I must break you was said perfectly by Drago, but that, the remember yeah, the Titans, I mean, it's not even close.
Exactly. Exactly.
But this sports region, there are upsets.
You smell it upsets. All right. Couple. I like it. All right. We'll find out, you know. Lots to get to. And our TV guy is coming up next. We'll give a couple games to him, okay, as well.
Perfect.
All right. It's 610-632-0975. You want to get in now. It's Cuz Radio with Chunis right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back. Cuz Radio with Chunis right here. 97.5 The Fanatic, the 11 o'clock hour, is brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. All right, I thought it'd be great to have him on our next guest on a Friday, which is actually the perfect day for him. We go into our weekend and, you know, I know we're watching TV all the time, but it's even more so to give us what's new, what's out, what's hot, new movies being released off of on demand. And now they're having all kinds of movie nights and things like that. There's great TV shows. This man is a creator of incredible content. Just a real incredible guy when it comes to docuseries, game shows, documentaries. He does it all on the Comcast Business Hotline, and he's a Philly guy who happens to be out in Los Angeles making some great stuff. Roy Bank joins us on the Comcast.
What up, cuz?
What's going on, Big Roy?
Oh, you know, I am, just doing what everybody's doing, which is staying home and staying out of harm's way.
Yeah, what's it like out there? I saw a picture of the 405, and there was nobody on it, and it was like, wow, it looked like the apocalypse.
It's creepy. It's really creepy. We had to run something for work. That was a necessary thing. We had to get a check to somebody, and it was a trip that we usually do on a Friday afternoon, and it usually takes, because we have to time it because it has to be there at a certain time, usually takes an hour and 25 minutes, and it took our guy 18 minutes. 18 minutes from an hour and 25.
Oh, my God.
Exact same trip at the exact same time that he's done 100 times. And it took him from an hour and 25 because of traffic to 18 minutes total.
Oh, my God. How long? I can only imagine. How long would it take to get to the beach? Which usually would take two and a half, usually?
Oh, no, it depends where you are. I mean, I can walk to the beach. So that's really easy.
How long would it take to get from your house to Hollywood on a normal day?
Normal day, my house into Hollywood is, it's probably 45 minutes to an hour with traffic on a normal day. And if I wanted to go right now at, 8:23 my time on a Friday morning, if I wanted to go there now, it'd take me 12, 15 minutes tops, maybe. I mean,
that's
it's nothing.
Crazy.
It is crazy. And look, I'm glad because it means people are, yes, for the most part, listening to the experts and social distancing and trying to work from home and all that. But it is surreal. It is, it's the kind of thing that we always joke in my area and in my industry. We always judge everything by, could it work in a script? If you wrote this into a script, would the studio tell you,
right,
oh, come on, that's way too unrealistic. No way. And this kind of has become that because, in a script, this would have already sort of bubbled up, blown up. Tom Cruise would have saved everybody and we'd be done. So the fact that the fact that in this version of the script, it's just kind of continuing and never ending, and it's indefinite, and we're gonna be doing this for a very long time, is the crazy part. I guess is the part, the part that I have some conversations with my neighbors through the fence, from each side of our fence, or that's the stuff it's surreal and unreal, but that's the world we're living in.
And you wonder how long, listen. It's good for the streaming industry because people are consuming lots and lots of content, but it's hard. You can't create anything new.
Correct. You can't create anything new.
I unfortunately know firsthand.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, right. You're living it. One of the biggest changes that you're going to see as a TV viewer is there's some things that are going to be available to you that you wouldn't have otherwise had because of this, and some things that aren't available to you. Some of your favorite TV shows are ending their seasons early because they couldn't finish filming, because this all started the time of year that, the traditional television season is winding down. So whether it's your favorite, your favorite SVU or, the shows like that, the traditional type shows, Grey's Anatomy and, these shows that are often written in a serialized way to sort of come to the natural conclusion of the season and sometimes of the series. There's certain shows that didn't get picked up for renewal and they're done. They're finished. It's over. So that's interesting. You're going to see a lot of sort of bizarrely abrupt endings to seasons, things that normally have like this really nice conclusion, this really romantic, everything tied up in a bow, are going to be left much, much more open-ended. You're going to see a lot of things split up. So like one of my favorite shows is Billions on Showtime. That's coming back soon. However, it's coming back with, instead of the, I believe, 13 episodes they had planned, it's coming back with 7 episodes. That will run from early May to June something, whatever 7 episodes stretches you, and then go off the air when it's going to come back. So the 13-episode season will be split in half, essentially.
Wow.
That's going to get... Now, so that's what you're going to lose. What you're going to gain as a viewer... First of all, the biggest thing you're going to gain are theatrical movies in your home. Things that either were in the theaters a week or two ago when this started, or were supposed to be in the theater. So there's sort of a distinct cutoff line. If the studio has spent the big money marketing their product, If they put a bunch of money out there already to market their film, they don't have the budget to say, okay, well, let's pull it off the shelf. We're going to have to put it back on ice. Right. And then when theaters reopen, we're going to put it back in. No, the marketing budget is what it is. So what they're doing is they're quickly making that shift and putting that thing. So Pixar's new movie Onward, it released in theaters and the very few theaters that were open at that time a few weeks ago, and in your home.
We actually watched it because, you know, we're a Pixar house with the two boys.
Exactly.
They love it. And they went nuts. They loved Onward. They loved it.
Right.
So
and under the normal circumstances, you would have either had to take them to the theater. It would probably still be in the theater under normal circumstances. It would probably be coming to its end, and it probably wouldn't hit, you know, sort of pay streaming like Apple, where you can pay for it. iTunes wouldn't have hit that probably until October, November, and then on Disney Plus maybe by January. Instead, Frozen 2, which was in the theaters in December, was supposed to be not on Disney Plus until this summer. It's already on. So as a viewer, you're getting this sort of, you know, lots of stuff you wouldn't otherwise have seen. I will tell you, here's what I think people should be looking for, because the content you're going to see is the content you're going to see. You're going to see it now. You're going to see it later. Here's the stuff that's on now that you may never see again that I'm finding fascinating, not only as a television executive, but frankly, as just a consumer, as a viewer. Because of what's happening, people are getting creative about how they bring content into your home. What are they showing you, right? They can't film normal stuff, like you said. I am loving the fact that your favorite celebrities, your favorite stars, your favorite whoever, they are showing you a side of themselves that they would never otherwise. There's like a permission that they have now. There's a sort of like, okay, I guess we're allowed, like, I guess nobody's judging us in the same way. So, for example, I'm flipping channels the other night, and I'm not a huge country music fan, frankly, but I think Garth Brooks is kind of an interesting guy. I've always liked his stuff. I love the fact that he puts on these epic concerts with, you know, 100,000 people in a stadium. And every time you've ever seen him on TV, it's always in some Garth Brooks special with 100,000 people live from whatever stadium in whatever town, whatever.
Yeah.
The other night, CBS, and think about how fast this would have had to come together. The other night, CBS has a great relationship with Garth Brooks because they've done the Country Music Awards
right,
and all that for many years.
Right.
They put him, it was a show for an hour. And again, I'm not a country music fan. I watched the entire hour. Garth Brooks and his wife, Trisha Yearwood, from their home, they have a music studio in their home, a recording studio in their home. From their home, the two of them standing in their recording booth with a camera on them, two producers who are friends of theirs wearing masks and gloves in the control room part, answering tweets and Instagram direct messages, taking requests, and just chatting.
Wow.
You're never going
fireside
to
chats.
That's exactly right. Your stars may never again show this side of themselves. Will Smith, Philly's own, right? Philly's own Will Smith, that he just announced this morning. He's going to do 12 episodes of Will Smith in quarantine with his family on Snapchat. That's the kind of stuff that if you're looking for more than just what should I watch, and I have things I can tell you that you should watch that are coming. There's an amazing show that's coming out soon on Apple TV, or the new Apple TV, called Home Before Dark. I think it's kind of in the spirit of what's going on in Netflix, and it's about a kids discovering sort of something supernatural.
What's that Netflix show that every the girl was named Seven. She's the alien.
Exactly. Yeah. It's very much in that spirit. There's Tales from the Loop coming out on Amazon Prime is coming out. So there are Tales from the Loop.
What's that? Chicago.
Tales from the Loop is it's something. It's actually based on a Swedish TV format. you know, it's sort of mysteries of the universe
like Twilight Zone stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there are some really cool stuff. The other thing that everyone should look for is, you know, there are amazing film festivals, and the things that you see in theaters and the things that you see on TV are usually premiered at places like South by Southwest, which is the big festival down in Austin. And instead of just flat out canceling those festivals, they're going to stream them. They're going to take that content and they're going to put it online. So if you want to be sort of in the know, the early adopter, if you want to be the guy or girl who sees it before everybody else does, you can check it out. You know, you can actually check it out. You know, early.
That's cool.
Because you just,
I love that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of those festival movies because I like a lot of the independent stuff.
Yeah, and that's all going to be stuff that you don't have to wait for it to hit your streamer or your or on the theaters, because it's all now that they're these festivals. People have spent the money, they've bought these films, they want to showcase these films. That they're going to do whatever they can do. I think that stuff's cool. Then on the flip side, listen, my wife and I are always looking for stuff we watch together, and some of our favorite candy, and I call it candy because that's exactly what it is. It's not good for you, and it's not good for you, but it tastes great going down. Some of your favorite candy is coming back. Last night, The Real Housewives of New York premiered their new season, and next week, The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills comes back. So for those of us that love the sort of very popcorn candy type stuff, a lot of that kind of stuff is making its come, you know, it's making its comeback.
Right,
now.
Right, right.
And a lot of it has been pushed up, you know, So, you know, a lot of
did
it.
Did you see Ozark? Because that was the last big series that
that's fabulous. Ozark's fabulous.
Is there any other big series that you know dropping soon? You said Billions. So that comes back for 7. That's a great one.
Billions is coming back for only half their season. Tracy Morgan. If you're a fan of his The Last OG that he's, you know, I think it's season 3 now.
I love that concept. I used to mess around with that concept before it was on television. I mean, like, you would see Duke the Hamsters being, like, going to these neighborhoods and encountering people and going, what do you mean, man? What are you doing on my block, man? With your IPAs, you know.
Yep. Yeah, so you got that coming back next week. You have a new Walking Dead spinoff. Called The World Beyond coming back. That's, I think, April 10th or 12th. Or
oh, that's
something.
Cool.
It's cool because they're setting it 10 years after The Walking Dead. So it's sort of like it's a spinoff, but it's trying to imagine, okay, imagine we finally sort of, whether I don't know what they're going to, I don't know how they're going to play it, whether we beat the zombies or we didn't beat the zombies. But either way, it becomes, what happened then? And then for anyone out there who hasn't watched it, I mean, it's I can't believe how zeitgeist it's become, but Tiger King is,
yeah, I'm out. I won't watch it.
Well, it's funny because my wife watched it, fell in love with it, and is insisting that I watch it, and she's willing to watch it again.
No.
Just to get me to watch it. Here's what's fascinating about that show. Here's what might suck you in. Because truth is stranger than fiction. That show was filmed as a traditional kind of lowbrow docu-soap for cable many years ago. And it didn't air. They didn't even cut the footage. It was so eh. And since the time that they tried filming that thing, between then and now, that family, which they had all this footage on, that just, they were people who owned big cats. You know, whatever.
They've had
murders. They've had intrigue. They've gone to jail. All these things have happened. So now it's become like making a murderer or one of those kinds of shows
mixed
with a docu-soap, because you had the docu-soap stuff. It's, I mean, and you couldn't write that. You honestly couldn't write that.
No.
It's amazing. It's
unbelievable.
Really amazing.
I love it. Yeah. You know, the greatest thing is that, you know, it's funny because I was telling the audience, we're talking to Roy Bagg, who this is his industry. You're a content creator, and that whole docu thing, you know, like you were in on the curve of that whole thing. I mean, how many series did I pitch you?
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, you know,
at least a dozen.
it's a needle in a haystack. I mean, we did one of the very, very, very first ones called The Restaurant, which was a show set in New York about a guy named Rocco DiSpirito launching a restaurant in New York City, and that was one of the very, very, very first ones of these things where it was like not a contest, not a thing. It was just, let's watch this guy do this thing and the people around him do this thing. And it was relatively successful. I mean, but it was early enough that it was on NBC. It wasn't even on like a Bravo or whatever because nobody knew how big or not big. Those shows have eventually found their home and their home is on cable, but you can't, I mean, it's pretty amazing, you know, that what that genre has become and what reality has become in unscripted.
Oh,
but,
it's all. I'll give you one of my favorite shows. I love this show, and I've watched it religiously for almost, I don't know, 15 years. It's been on Top Chef.
Top Chef's fabulous. It's great.
I love it. I watch
it.
Yep. Top Chef is going on now. Yeah.
Top Chef's great. Listen, my wife and I, we will watch every minute of every episode of Big Brother when it comes on over the summer. You know, this
my
summer is it
a big
comes
brother.
On.
She likes that, yeah.
I like Big Brother. We like all the, I mean, these shows are good. They're fun. They're simple.
Yeah.
They're clean.
Yeah. No, it's true. But, no, it's so interesting.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, this what's happening now is it's a unique time, and people are going to be able to view things that they may never be able to view again. Will Smith will never again say, hey, let's just bring some cameras into our home and see what happens.
Exactly.
He's just not going to do that. But he can now because there's a forgiveness of the audience. There's a, we'll take anything and we're not going to judge you for it type attitude.
I love it. I love it. All right. But before we appreciate this, before, and we'll talk to you next Friday. So if you can carve out some time. But before you disappear on us, I got to ask you, we're doing, Cousin Joey came up with the greatest Field of 64 movie lines.
Yes.
And you need to come up. You need to give the answers, all right? Who beats who? All right, let's go to the sports regions.
Yep.
And let's go to the 6-11, Andrew. So we'll start off with the 11 seed, White Man Can't Jump. White Man Can't Jump.
Really, listen.
Okay.
What?
White Men Can't Jump.
All right, the iconic line. By Wesley Snipes there. Against Sandlot. Take a listen.
You're killing me, Smalls.
You're killing me, Smalls. The legendary 6-11 seed. Who wins?
To me, that's an easy one. The 6 seed takes it. The 6
there
seed takes
it. There it is.
And I'm going to tell you why. I'll give you my reason, too. When it's the title of the film, it's just too easy and too obvious. It's like, the beauty of the great movie line to me is the one that kind of catches you by surprise, right?
Yes,
the one that you turn off the movie and you go, oh, that was brilliant. As opposed to when you say White Man Can't Jump is the name of the movie, I expect to hear that line in the movie. I've already laughed at the line because before I got to the theater, I thought, hey, that's kind of funny. So it doesn't catch off guard. To me, that's a 6 feet all the way.
All right, one more. I'm going to give you the 7-10 seed in the gangster movie region.
Ooh, okay.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
We'll start with the 10 seed, Pulp Fiction, Tunis. Get the Pulp Fiction iconic scene. Take a listen to this line.
Check out the big brain on Brad.
Well, you remember that. Right.
Yep.
This is a taste of burger. Check out the big brain on
Check
Brad.
Out the big brains on Brad.
Versus Goodfellas. You ready?
Yep.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you.
Oh, Well, that's a tough matchup.
Right? That's why you get it. You're a professional. So
that's
you
a tough
get
matchup. So Goodfellas was the 10 seed?
Goodfellas was the 7 seed. And check out the Pulp Fiction was the 10 seed. Check out the Big Brains on Brad versus you think I'm falling.
I'm going to go with the upset here. I think the Big Brains on Brad, it was. Is it? I think
over Joe Pesci. Wow.
Over Joe Pesci. Over
he
Joe
goes
Pesci.
Upset. Look
and
at
I'll
that.
Tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. If I gave you a few minutes, could you come up with 10 amazing Joe Pesci lines from 10 different movies? Probably. Because he's that good, right? Because you could be talking about the two youths. You could be talking right. about all kinds of things. Whereas, you know, in that movie, in that moment, in Pulp Fiction, Samuel Jackson never had a better line in any movie, anytime, anywhere. He absolutely broke the bank with that one line in that one moment.
Except
so, to me,
the one Samuel get these snakes off this plane.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. But if you put those two lines up against each other, I'm still going to give you check out the Big Brain on Brad.
Check out the Big Brain on Brad.
Yeah. No, you're right.
How many times can you take that violent of a scene and put in that comedically genius of a line?
Classic.
It's the juxtaposition. To me, that's what does it. I think it's the upset on that one.
You got it, bro. Great stuff. Roy, thank you for your time, brother. Great stuff today. We appreciate it.
Anytime. I love you, man. Have fun.
Love you, brother. Take it easy, man. There he is.
Watch out.
Roy Bank from Philadelphia native, straight from L.A., giving us his what to watch. We'll come back to the phones we go. It's Cuz Radio with Tunis right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, don't forget, 10 minutes, your chance to win $500, our cash giveaway coming up. 12:20 playback, Eagles Cowboys, 1981 championship game. Let's get some people on the line and then we'll get back to it. some funny stuff. I gotta give you in a little bit. I gotta play this this thing Tune is found from Rex. Was it Rex Ryan or Rob Ryan?
Rex Ryan.
There's a football word. You didn't know this.
No idea.
But there is an inside football word that describes a bad teammate. All right, that only football guys use. Well, football guys use this word, and it's their biggest word to describe a bad teammate. These coaches, they use this word, and I'll tell you about it coming up. Marcello, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Marcello,
hi, how you doing?
What do you say, buddy?
Great show so far.
Thank you, Marcello. What's happening, my friend?
I have an opinion about a player that most people don't like yet, but I think that it's too early to tell. And that player is that Ortega Whiteside. Okay. I know he didn't show hardly anything last year, but I did see him catch a couple of, hard to catch catches that are a little bit off target. And he had to be like a little bit off balance and in the air to get
it. Some body control, right?
Yeah, and I didn't see any highlights of his college, but maybe you do. Maybe you know a little bit more of how successful he was in college or what.
Well,
what
he was he's a good possession receiver in college. They ran a lot of fades to him. They were more of a pro set offense at Stanford, where they run the ball, and then they didn't go down the field much. My only problem, my biggest problem with Ortega Whiteside is he's got no speed.
Yeah. That doesn't mean I don't watch the drafted in the first round. I just don't want to sacrifice everything to get to the top 10. Yeah. I have another question for you.
Yeah,
but if we traded like our first and like a fourth to just move up, how many slots would that give us, you think?
If you want to trade, say it one more time.
Like a fourth round pick and our first round.
How high does that get you?
Yeah.
It's not going to probably get you enough to get up to where you need to get one of the receivers. Here's the thing.
I saw a lot of mock drafts, and there's a lot of them that are good. And versus Jefferson was already predicted to be available at 21. But then I heard...
I don't like Jefferson.
Sal Palantonio said that, or Mims. And Sal Palantonio said that Buffalo needs a wide receiver, and they're right after us. Uh-huh. And that's going to probably try to jump us because everybody knows that the Eagles are going to try to get a wide receiver.
So yeah, I'm not a big Jefferson fan.
How about Mims?
Yeah, I like Mims all right. I mean, I love Ruggs.
But he's too high.
It doesn't matter. Listen, it doesn't matter what kind of draft capital you got to give to get up to draft.
How about for next year then? We give something up for next year.
We're not going to want. You can't play the. You're going to have to get. You have to give up something from this year to get the player you want. And here, Marcello, I offer you this. I'm giving you a playmaker. I don't understand the resistance of trading up. I don't get it. I hear it, and it confuses me because you need to get playmakers in this league.
We also need someone on the offensive line.
By the way, it doesn't matter if you stay where you're at and draft a mediocre receiver or got an inside-outside guy, then and go get somebody on the offensive line for depth purposes. That's not going to help you win as much as a dynamic wide receiver down the field.
The ones I mentioned are star players.
Jefferson's not a star player. Nope. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong, but he is not at all a star player in my eyes. Not at all.
Because everybody's saying that your draft is loaded with wide receivers.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they're stars. Okay. It means that there's some talent out there. But you know, to say that they're different, Henry Ruggs is a kid that runs at an elite level, and that's what you want. And he had not only does he run at an elite level, he's a great route runner. He's got great hands. Marcello, thank you, my brother. Be safe, okay? I don't, Junis, understand the life of me why we are so, you can't give up this. We act like they're going to hit on all their picks. Like, I know they need other positions. But I'm willing, if I can get a stud, a true weapon on the outside, that's all I need.
Yeah, I agree. And I just always go back to Pumphrey. Like, all right, they thought they were the smartest guys in the room. They decided to wait during that historic running back draft class. And they got a guy who's playing in the XFL. So if there are guys available that you could move up for, if they are in striking distance, you do it.
Exactly. Well, how hard is that? Seriously. I mean, you want a guy on the outside that's a weapon. Aren't you tired of not having weapons?
That
makes no sense to me. Who cares about offensive line in the future depth? Are you nuts? You're trying to win now.
They threw one deep to Shelton Gibson in the playoffs. Remember we got the pass interference?
Oh, my God. You're watching Pikers. Horrible, horrible receivers. God, stop. With this crazy nonsense. Oh, I need this guy. I need to have a linebacker. Here's what you need. You need a handful of playmakers, of difference makers. And then you fill in. That's why I give you the whole Zach Ertz plan. 1, 2, 3 draft picks and Zach Ertz equals, it's the new math, Ruggs and Ngakoue. You all right with that? I'm going to ask you every day.
A lot of picks.
You all right with that? You're getting two studs, dude. Two studs.
Yeah, I'm in. Again, if as long as I'm getting Ruggs and Ngakoue, I'm in.
Right.
But if it's just, oh, I traded Zach Ertz for a 2 and a 3.
Listen, I'm not looking to trade. I'm not looking, you know, contrary to what I sound like, I'm not looking just to, you know, to put Zach Ertz on the curb. You know what I mean? In the recyclables. I'm not looking to do that. I mean, I love the guy. But, again, I also realize that it's a duplicate position. And you got a quarterback that needs to go down the field. That's all.